So my name is Agnete Melgaard Hansen. I'm a visiting student here at the Department of Sociology for a while. So I'm glad to have this opportunity to talk a little bit about what I'm doing. I changed the name of my presentation to be, I changed the fitness into development because I've been looking more at my data and it seems it's not so much fitness, it's more about personal and professional development and developing yourself as you develop the elderly. The context of my study is Danish home care for the elderly. So I'm looking at care work and how that is developing in the Danish home care context. Just to kind of let you in on the Danish context, we have, when looking at the British context, we have comparably high levels of service. We have more of a universal welfare state. And our care services are mostly publicly provided and delivered. So we have some private providers, but not many. And the services that you can get as an elderly person who's receiving home care is like personal services or assistance. For example, you get help for a bath or going to the toilet or intimate hygiene of different sorts. And you can get practical assistance also, like cleaning or light cooking. And these services are carried out by the same people. So they are social and healthcare helpers, we call them. So they can do both these practical and personal tasks. What's also important to know about this context is that home care work in Denmark is somewhat more professionalized than in many other countries. It's more or less required of all, at least public sector care workers, to have at least 14 months of training as this education called social and healthcare helper. And as I said, it's mostly public sector work. They're very well unionized. They have relatively secure employment and what you could say were good working conditions in some ways. But still, we're talking about a very badly paid job. It's also kind of a stigmatized job. It's considered dirty and women's work. So it's considered low skilled and it's very low status work. And this whole idea of care being not a skill, not a competence, but some sort of gendered non-competence or disposition that women have. What I'm studying is this new development that we have in Denmark, and as I understand, is also in some parts going on over here. And that development is all about turning home care into not help, but self-help. So home care has to become rehabilitative and activating. So instead of, they say that instead of compensating for the citizen's disabilities or the elderly person's disabilities, you help them regain their abilities. Kind of. So you can't compensate for what they can't do, you have to help them regain abilities to care for themselves. And they do this through drawing up training programs for these elderly people. So they have personalized training programs made up for them so that they can regain their skills and become more healthy and active and, in the end, require fewer services. And this leads, of course, to expenditure cuts because, as in so many other places, we need to, or there's a discourse that we need to cut expenditure in the public sector. But what it's also said to lead to is freedom and quality of life for the citizens of Denmark. So that's very wonderful. And as a third thing, it's also said to lead to more attractive workplaces for care workers. So it's supposed to make working in this dirty, low status sector more interesting and attractive to coming generations of care workers. And my focus is, being from the field of sociology of work, is of course how does this affect the practices of care and the care workers who are being required to change their daily practices with these rehabilitation programs. And what I've been doing is, I'm kind of at the end of my PhD project, or I have a little more than 6 months left. But I've been doing a lot of policy analysis and document studies, and then I've also done some ethnographic case studies, I call them, where I've done shadowing and participant observation and interviews, and I've done these workshops and feedback sessions with the care workers I've been studying. So I've been kind of, I've placed myself in two home care units in two different municipalities in Denmark and kind of followed their work and talked to them about how they do this. What I'm presenting today is only data from one of my case studies that was quite interesting. It's like a specialized rehabilitation unit. So in this municipality, they decided that we're going to put the people who will be rehabilitating in one unit together. So they're this kind of, they see themselves as this kind of specialist elite group of care workers who are running out to rehabilitate the elderly. And they also, they've been given a new title, so they're not social and healthcare helpers, or they are, but they don't call themselves that. They call themselves home trainers. So it also has a lot to do with their identity as care workers, of course. The conceptual framework I'm working with here is this concept of body work, and there's been a lot written on body work, but you can kind of talk about body work in two ways. So one way of talking about it is as work or labor that you do on the bodies of others. So as this one definition over here, that work that focuses directly on the bodies of others, assessing, diagnosing, handling, treating, manipulating, and monitoring bodies, that thus become the object of the worker's labor. So it's work that you do on other people. So many healthcare occupations, it can also be hairdressers or bouncers, but of course I'm talking about the healthcare context here. But then there are also some people writing on body work as work that is done by workers, or by all of us, of course, on our own bodies. So the work that we do to transform our own bodies by manipulating our appearances in different ways, for example. And in the employment context, that's a special context because the bodily signs and performances that we have affect our access to and our experiences in the labor market very much in the very same sense as in the dating market, you might say. So how you perform your gender and class, of course, also affects what you can do in the labor market. And some sort of body work is required and done by most workers, you might say. And then the last important point is that body work is not just a kind of work on the body, it's also self-work. It's very into the way we feel about and how we are in our bodies and the way we go through the world with our bodies. It's very connected to how we perceive ourselves. So it's very intimately connected with identity. And in my case, I'm looking at professional identity, how this body work affects professional identities. So what I'm saying in this presentation, or in what will be a paper one day, I hope, is that what we're dealing with in this context of rehabilitative home care is that we have two problematized bodies that are meeting in this context. We have the elderly citizen, the elderly citizen's body, that is thought of as frail. It might break any time, become disabled in some way. And worst of all, it's dependent, and we don't like dependence in our society. The ideal is to be independent, or maybe actually not, dependency isn't the worst thing. The worst thing is that dependency leads to being potentially expensive, that you lead to healthcare costs. So you all know this idea of the burden of the elderly. It's a very horrible way to talk about it, but it's this idea that elderly people are potentially expensive for society, and we have to try to work around that. And then we also have another problematized body, which is the body of the predominantly female care workers that I'm looking at. And they're also, it's also a working class occupation, so, and you also have this, I mean, the stereotypical or stigma around the working class female body as this fat or, what do you say, like fat and ungroomed or overweight, a vulgar body that has to be regulated in some sort to become respectable. And what's also interesting, at least in the Danish context, they're very, they're also thought of as potentially expensive because they have a lot of occupational injuries. It's physically hard work that they are performing. They're moving bodies around. It's taxing. So of course they are expensive in that sense, and they also have higher rates of sickness absence than other groups in the labor market. They have a lot of early retirement, and then they also have a lot of what they call lifestyle diseases. So they're smoking too much and they're eating the wrong food, so they become overweight, etc., etc. So what I'm saying is that we have these two bodies that are problematic, and they're meeting in this context, and they become kind of the object or subject of a simultaneous bodywork. So what I'm seeing kind of in the first sense of the term bodywork is the new forms of work on citizen bodies and selves you might see going on in this context is that the care workers are changing their practices because they have to be rehabilitated now, so they have to motivate and guide the citizens towards this healthy and active life that they're supposed to lead and try to turn them into these independent self-sustaining neoliberal subjects who don't need care. And in this process, the care practices are becoming more kind of distanced. They talk a lot about keeping your hands on your back. That's how they explain to me. So they will talk the elderly through a bath instead of helping them take the bath, for example. And they also talk a lot about how they have to use the citizens' resources. They say that if someone is in a wheelchair, you don't focus on the fact that they don't have any legs, you focus on the fact that they have two arms, and you say, what can I use the arms for? So it's this very kind of enforced positivity towards ableness and resources in the citizens. And also this idea that citizens don't need help, they need to be challenged to achieve themselves, kind of. They have to develop themselves and be challenged by the care workers. And in order to do this, the care workers are developing this new or a specific way of seeing the elderly, or I call it a rehabilitative gaze, you might say. So it's this developmental and analytical gaze that they have on the citizens. And I'll give you a couple of examples from these new practices from some of my interviews. And this first, we have Laura, who's telling me about her new gaze. So she has, and this is of course this is translated from Danish, so it sounds kind of not quite right. That's probably why. But she says, "You might see more things than I think I did before. I just think you see other possibilities, other openings. I think you see a bigger picture, where maybe before you would come and clean." Fine, and then you left. Well, not quite like that, but well, now you see, like, well, then you could, or you could maybe take the broom. So she's like trying to get the citizen involved in that way, get people involved, right? Where I might have been more inclined to do things before without asking questions. So, so Laura and, by implication, her colleagues, they see themselves as having become more observant and more analytical in the way they look at citizens. And she sees the bodily potentials of the citizens in, for example, in participating in the cleaning of the citizen's house. And she sees herself as more reflexive and more questioning in her approach and in her, and now as a person who can activate these citizens. So what's also interesting, and what I also find that I see in this data is that the work on, so that was like the work on the bodies of the citizens, but there's also a lot of work going on care workers' own bodies and their own selves, you might say. So you could say that they're turning this rehabilitative gaze that they've developed, that they're also turning that on themselves, kind of in this Foucauldian sense of technologies of the self. So what I saw was a lot of discussion on their own diets, their own exercising, their own ways of being active in their spare time and things like that. That really took a lot of talk in the lunchrooms and during the days when I was with them. And they also did a lot of mirroring of their own experiences in the experiences of the citizens, which is actually quite interesting because some of the other research on care work and how care workers look at the bodies that they're taking care of has been more about how they see them as something very different from themselves, something very old and something that's falling apart that they can't identify with, but they're actually trying to identify with the bodies of the citizens. And also they really want to be open to development and challenge themselves, just like the citizens have to be. So I have two care workers. One is Jens, who's a man, and Sophie, who kind of elaborated on this. So this is Jens, and he's talking about this drive towards being, towards developing yourself. And he says, and I think that the more you can get yourself geared to push a little more, the better results you can also obtain. It just takes something. It requires some training. We're in a developmental phase, challenging things all the time to make it more efficient. So you have to get used to and change your work practices continuously, right? So it's a development work. And you have to want it. Those who just want fixed boundaries and security, they should perhaps not be in a unit like this. So